When I first came to Living Rock Church, I love the name, by the way, Living Rock. So I thought, well, what am I going to preach on? So I decided to preach on a sermon series called Living on the Rock. Come on, how creative is that? I'm going to Living Rock Church. I'm going to preach on Living on the Rock. It was just genius, I thought. And so I think we did 18 weeks from the book of 1 John. And now, 11 plus years later, I think it's time to go back to the rock. Because right now, I would say to you, we are experiencing so much change. I am seeing so much anxiety in the world. There are new pressures on the church, local church, like we've never seen before. And we're hearing so many lies that are so embedded in our culture, it's just like, how do you even know what's true anymore? Am I right? So I'm in the mood to go back to the rock solid truths of the gospel and Jesus Christ. So I thought I would finish out the summer by going back to 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. 2 and 3 John are just follow-up letters to 1 John. So let's just review a little bit about 1 John. 1 John answers some very big questions, like what are the rock-solid tests of true Christianity? And there are four tests in the book of 1 John about how you can know who is really Christian and what is Christian living. And then it also answers the question, how do I know I am a Christian? How do I have assurance that I really am a Christian and that I have eternal life? And then it also talks about how do I spot false teachers and what is false teaching. So that's 1 John. And thankfully, in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 13, it gives us the purpose statement. So we know why he wrote this letter. He said, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life." So if you struggle with knowing Jesus, if you're not sure you're a Christian, if you are not sure that you have eternal life, if something were to happen to you and you were to die and you're not sure you would wake up in heaven, you need to read 1 John, because that is a book to help you to know the Son of God, to know that you know you have eternal life. Now, there are four kinds of people when it comes to Christianity. First, there are those people who are not Christian, and they know they're not Christian. And the Bible calls them unbelievers. The Bible says they are lost. So they might be atheists, they might be agnostics, they may be Muslim. They may be in a new group in America called the nuns. The nuns are N-O-N-E-S. The nuns are those who have no religious affiliation. Maybe they don't identify with any denomination. Maybe they have absolutely no interest in religion. It's like politics. They just don't want to talk about it. But that's a growing group. They're not Christian, and they know they're not Christian. The second group of people are those who are not Christian, but they think they are. Now, that's a tough crowd. And because they're deceived, right? We would say they are the religious lost. They have a form of godliness, a form of spirituality, but there's no power. Jesus ran into this crowd, didn't he? The Pharisees, the Sadducees. Isaiah talks about this crowd of people. They are the religious lost, and they're deceived. There's no true power from God, no reality there. The third group of people are those who are Christians, but they don't have assurance that they're Christians. They don't feel like a Christian. And these are true brothers and sisters in Jesus, but they battle with doubts. They're suffering for whatever reason, maybe because of their background, maybe it's intellectual, maybe it's emotional. Oftentimes it's emotional. They struggle through a dark night of the soul. You hear about this from the saints in ancient days. They go through this dark night of the soul. It's real. But they're really brothers and sisters. They suffer with doubts. And then there's a fourth group of people. These are those who are Christian, and they have assurance that they are Christian. Now, that's where you want to be. I mean, that's the best of all options, to be a true Christian and have true assurance that you are a child of God. And that is why 1 John was written, to get us to that place where we believe in Jesus, we have assurance of eternal life. And that would be my wish as a pastor, that you would all know Jesus and have assurance that you have eternal life. Can we all get there somehow? And if that's not you, you don't know that you're a Christian, you don't have assurance, well, let me help you. Let me pray for you. Let me try to encourage you in that direction. And I encourage you to read 1 John to help you with that. So with that as an introduction, I'm going to begin to look at now 2 John and 3 John. And remember, they're just following up on this big truth, the purpose of having Christian assurance. So let me read to you a book of the Bible, the whole thing. It's really short. It's called 2 John. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which remains in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we have received a commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you are to walk in it. So verse 7 here, now he's going to tackle this issue that has surfaced from this lady. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not remain in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who remains in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anybody comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister greet you. This is the word of God. Father, we thank you for this ancient letter, this true letter that is just as true for us as it was to this elect lady, this church in the first century. And I pray you would feed us and teach us and bathe us with the truth of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So my title today is Don't Lie to the Lady. Don't Lie to the Lady, I think, summarizes what this little letter is about. We could almost call it a postcard. It's so short. And let me just answer three questions first before we look at the commands here. First of all, who is the lady? Who is the lady? 2 John is written to the chosen lady. The lady is mentioned in verse 1 and verse 5. Some people say this lady may be a Christian woman. Perhaps the church meets in her home. Perhaps John is answering her specific question that she somehow got to him. Most of the commentators say the chosen lady is just another way of speaking about a local church. And for whatever reason, he called the local church the chosen lady. And the church is where the children, the members, are walking in truth, they're walking in love, they're walking in obedience to the Lord. And John is the elder, that means he's the pastor that this church is seeking help from. So he's writing to this local church. He loves this local church. They are his church family. And when you think about it, the church, after all, is called the bride of Jesus, right? We are the bride of Jesus. So we are all ladies in that sense, right? And I think it's a good reminder to us that we're the bride of Jesus. So we should be careful how we speak to one another. We should speak with truth and love. And, you know, when you're speaking to another Christian, you are speaking to the bride of Jesus. Now, how is it that you want to speak to the bride of Jesus? You want to speak lovingly and truthfully in an honorable way. And also, let me say this, when the world forgets that the church is the bride of Jesus and starts to pick a fight with the church, that's just never a good idea. So the next question is, what is the lie? Well, the lie is mentioned in verse 7. Some deceivers had come and spread lies in the church, and the lies were about Jesus. And the specific lie was that they refused to acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus wasn't really fully human. And deceivers always do this. They deny essential Christian truth. So here we have the deception that they deny the incarnation that Jesus is the eternal God, the Word that took on human flesh and dwelt among us. And John makes it very clear to us that this is false teaching. Reject it. Reject those who deny that Jesus is fully God and fully human. And then the next question is, why is this so important? Well, John, the elder, the pastor, loves the lady. He loves this church, and he hates his lady being lied to. I mean, it's not a good idea to lie to your wife or to lie to the lady. It's especially not a good idea to lie to the bride of Jesus about Jesus, right? And you can look through church history and see that no revival, nothing good ever happens when the church believes lies and abandons the truth. So this church is doing so well. They're walking in love. They're walking in truth. They're walking in obedience. John is rejoicing over them, but he's very, very concerned that lies and liars and deceivers have come in, and they're saying things about Jesus that are not true and tripping up their good work for Christ. So that's important, right? So these are the three reasons why John wrote these letters, these postcards. Now let's see what John tells them to do. What do we do about this? So the first thing he commands them to do is watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. Verse 7 and 8, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist, so watch yourselves. There's the command, that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. So 1 John, 2 John, 3 John mention deceivers, liars, and their lies more than any other book in the New Testament. Here's some of these verses. 1 John 1, verse 6. If someone says they're a Christian, but they do not practice the truth, they are a liar. 1 John 1, verse 10. If someone says they're not a sinner, they make God a liar, because God says we're all sinners. 1 John 2, verse 4. If we say that we know Jesus, but we do not keep his commands, we are a liar. And 1 John 2:22, if you deny Jesus is the Christ, that means Christ is the Messiah, God's King, come to God's world. If you deny that, you are a liar. In 1 John 5:10, if we deny Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the eternal, divine Son of God, we make God a liar because God says Jesus is his one and only begotten Son. In 1 John 4 and here in chapter 7, it says it is a lie to deny Jesus came in the flesh. It is a lie to deny the incarnation, that Jesus is fully God and fully human. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I mean, are you shocked? I mean, it just, John, more than any other in these letters, mentions what is true and who are the liars, who are the Antichrist figures and what they say. So there's much deception, many lies, many liars in the world. And it's so interesting to me that the command here is not watch out for the liars out there in the world. What does it say? It says watch what? Watch yourselves. I mean, the world is always going to have liars, right? So we have to watch ourselves, protect our own minds, take measures to keep that lie detector working and functioning so that these lies don't come into us and come into our families and come into our church. And verse 8 tells us what will happen to Christians. If we don't watch ourselves, we lose what Jesus has accomplished through us. We lose our spiritual progress, and we lose our full reward for following Jesus. When we believe lies, spiritual growth stops, and then the church goes sideways. So let's suppose you enroll in a school, and the name of the school is the School of Christ. We should all be in that school, right? So every year you are following in the path of discipleship. Let's say you go to grade 1 and you pass and you get to grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, grade 5, and you're learning about following Jesus and what it means to be a Christian, and you're getting versed in the basics of Christian doctrine and Christian living. That's a good thing, right? But then you get to 6th grade, let's say, and you're in the School of Christ, and you fail, and then you have to repeat the 6th grade over again. And then you even regress more, and the teacher puts you back in 5th grade for some remedial work. And then you watch some of your friends dropping out of school, and you think about dropping out of the School of Christ. What's happening? What is happening? My suspicion is when a Christian stops growing, stops progressing in the School of Christ, it might be because they've been taught or they have believed some lie. They've been deceived in some way about what it means to follow Christ and who he is. And as long as that lie lives in their head, they just can't advance to the next grade in the School of Christ. Would you agree with me? So it's so important that we can identify what those lies are, what that deception is, that keeps us from growing further and learning more about Christ and becoming more like him. Watch yourselves. That's the first command. Don't let the lies that are in the world build a nest and live in your head. In Ephesians 4:15, it says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, that is Christ. So truth in love. That's the fuel for Christian growth, truth in love. And if you're not a growing Christian, you need to watch out for that lie. Think about where you may have been deceived. You know, does a deceived person know they've been deceived? Does a person who has lied to themselves, do they know it's a lie? So this is almost a horrible thought, but you have to think about this. You have to think about, have I been lied to? You have to examine yourself to see if you've been deceived in some way, if what is in your head is in line with what Jesus has taught. Truth and love, that's the fuel for Christian growth. Watch for the lie. Live in the truth. Well, there's a second command here, and that is to remain in the teachings of Christ. Verse 9, anyone who goes too far and does not remain in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who remains in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Now, that's pretty clear, right? Remain in the teachings of Christ. That's the second command. Remain means to abide, to stay, to wait, to camp out right there in the teachings of Christ. And John even says here, I'm not giving you a new commandment. I'm reminding you of what Jesus has commanded. And the church today, 2,000 years later, we don't need to go look for new commandments. We need to camp out in the teachings of Christ and abide and wait and stay right there where he has told us to stay. The command is to digest, to internalize the word of Christ, to chew on it, to meditate on it, so that it becomes a part of us and we learn to walk in step, in obedience with the Father and the Son. Remember that John is writing to the lady, the church, about deception. Now, here's another interesting thing here. John describes these liars and deceivers as going too far. I find that very interesting. It also says in some translations, they run ahead or they go beyond. So I'm thinking about Star Trek here. They're like, these liars are like Star Trek people. You know, they boldly go where Jesus has never gone before. These false teachers go boldly beyond anything Jesus ever taught. And they're teaching strange new things that Jesus never said. And they teach what the Bible never affirms. We say sometimes to some people, they get way out over their skis. They overpromise and underdeliver. And these false teachers, they're not satisfied with simply remaining and abiding in the teachings of Christ. No, they have this impulse to always chase after something newer and truer and better. You've met Christians like that. You've met people like that. Rob Bell was once a Christian author that I used to read. And years ago, he took a left turn. And now I think he would say he's a progressive. And there are political progressives. There are also religious progressives. It all amounts to the same thing. It's just anti-Christian at its very core. And there's so much of this these days. We need to be aware of these things. So Rob Bell recently said this about the Bible. He said the church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago as their best defense. Well, that's what I'm doing today. I'm quoting letters to the church from 2,000 years ago. And good old Rob is telling me I'm irrelevant. And I'm thinking, well, are you more relevant because you wrote something 5 minutes ago? Are you smarter than God? What has happened to him? And why does he reject the teachings of Christ in the New Testament? Because it's 2,000 years old? Is that how we judge truth, by how old it is? I mean, 2 times 2 is 4. That's pretty old. So are we supposed to do what? That's old. We need a new math. Let's just call it 5 or 6 or whatever you want it to be. It's a tremendous misunderstanding of truth. And false teachers don't care about truth. They just want to progress onto the next thing, whatever that is. Just demolish whatever foundation there is and move on to the next thing. And we don't care what the next thing is as long as we demolish the old and the true. Do this and you'll be more advanced. Do this and you'll be more relevant. Believe this and you'll be more spiritual. That's what they promise. But it's very clear here. John says this is not of God because it's not in conformity to the teachings of Christ. The command is to remain, to abide in the teachings of Christ. And if we don't abide in the teachings of Christ, we are going to fall for the lies of the Antichrist. John has already said in 1 John that the lies of the Antichrist are already in the world today. So we have to watch, and we have to remain and abide in Christ's teachings. We used to call people who did not remain Christian, we used to call them backsliders. Have you heard that? Well, here's a person, they're no longer in church, they're no longer following Christ, they're backsliding. Well, that's not what John calls these people. He says those who do not remain in Christ, they are forward sliders. They're way out ahead of Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. They've gone too far. In their pride, they think they know more than God. And their pride will lead them to a fall. And if we believe them, it will lead to our fall. And we will become prideful and think we're smarter than Jesus too. So back in verse 2, it says, truth remains in us and will be with us forever. I love that. Truth will be with us forever. You might want to underline that. Truth is forever. Truth is eternal. Truth doesn't get old. Truth is always relevant. Now, lies are not, you can't say that about lies. Lies don't live unless someone believes them and spreads them and shares them. Lies have a shelf life. And if everybody stops believing the lie dies. Lies are mortal. Truth is immortal. Truth is true even if no one believes it. Because truth exists outside of our minds. Truth exists in the mind of God. God is eternal, unchanging. Truth is absolute. Truth is forever. Amen to that? And so Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. How about that? So why would you ever leave the words of Jesus? They're never going to pass away. They are eternal words. They are words that stay with us all the way to eternity and give us eternal life. Even now. And boy, that's good news. So the truth that you've even heard today will always be true. I'm not going to come back next week and give you, well, you know, last week, you know, I got a better truth this week than last. I'm not going to do that. If I do that, throw a chair at me, okay? The truth that you've heard today from the Word of God will always be true. It will always be relevant. It will always be powerful. It will always protect you and provide for you and guide you in the paths of eternal life. So what is the conclusion? Don't lie to the lady. And by that, we mean the church. The bride of Jesus. The church is to be a lie-free zone. Our families are to be a lie-free zone. Your lives are to be a lie-free zone. The first command is to watch yourselves. Don't be so naive. Protect yourself from the lies and the deception in this world. We're in the last days, you know. We're living in a world of lies. You hear them every day. You know, they're just so obvious, some of them are not. So let's watch ourselves and see that these lies don't live in our homes and in our church. Next week, I'm going to take another week to talk about this more and talk about how we can be more discerning as Christians. And we'll expand on this a little bit more. And the second command is remain in the teachings of Christ. Camp out right there in the teachings of Jesus. Christ is eternal. His word is eternal. Remain in him. And forever, forever be with Jesus. So let me just close by saying, do you know Jesus? Do you have assurance that you know Jesus? And if you're not sure, come and talk to me. I would love to talk to you about eternal life. My favorite gospel tract is this little green one, and it's on the back table. And if you have some doubts, if you're suffering, if you're not sure about where you stand with Jesus, pick up one of those tracts and abide in the teachings of Jesus and what he has to say. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have tasted eternity this morning by reading the Word of God and hearing about your eternal Son. And this truth is so relevant for us today. And so I pray you would protect these brothers and sisters from doubt. I pray you would protect them from deception. I pray you would protect them from lies, believing lies. God, put a hedge around the body of Living Rock Church and our families and keep the lies out. Let this be a truth zone where freedom is the rule and truth is the rule and Jesus is front and center. He is the rock on which we build our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing before